Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study, and we thank you for coming out. You know, Christmas, you know, you always have an excuse, right? If it's in the middle of the summer, nobody's here, it's because of the weather, they're at the beach, or they're fishing. If it's around Christmas, or what the world celebrates as Christmas, then it's because of the holidays, and everybody's busy. There's always an excuse why you don't have a lot of people. Always. We're never going to have a lot of people. And why is that, Jim? But it's because we actually teach the truth, and who wants to know the truth? The world don't want to know the truth. Absolutely they don't. There's a few people out here that are searching the scriptures, trying to find the truth. But today we want to welcome Rod, Becky, and Aunt Ruby from Shalimar. We want to welcome them over here. And this is good. You're in a race class in Illinois.
Illinois, yes.
Good. That's good, though. You know about it. What?
I don't even know why.
I'm going to get laughed. No, I'm not going to. I ain't that morning. This is more of a subdued, laid-back kind of thing. But anyway, Brother Darby, open us up with a prayer, please.
Father, we just praise and thank you, Lord, for your salvation provided for us on Calvary. We thank you for the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you for this Bible study that we have. Lord, help us to get something out of it that we might help someone else. And if there's anybody here that's not saved, we just ask that they really trust you as their Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's one thing that I would really, really like to see in a Grace Church. We have two little ones in here. There need to be 40 little ones in here. So we're all going to die if the rapture don't take place. Who's going to take over and run this? Who's going to preach the absolute truth? If without young people, your church dies. That's what was happening to Brother Moore's. And no young people in it whatsoever. I watched it go from here, and it's just decline. And it's the way it is. Churches, if you don't incorporate some youth, then your church is going to die no matter what you're preaching, how good you are. So it's about to happen. But today, what we want to deal with, on what day was Jesus Christ born? The world celebrates some kind of Christmas day called the 25th of December. But can the actual birth of the Lord Jesus Christ be determined from the scriptures? And it can be. Now, we may be a day off because of leap year. But other than that, we're going to pretty well find out. But why would you need to know this? Why would you need to know? Is it critical? Is there a problem with having a Christmas tree at your house? I don't see a problem with it at all. I don't worship the tree. There's people, even Grace teachers, that will preach that if you put, and they go back into the Old Testament, if you put that rope around it and have all this and that, then you're worshiping the devil. And you're a pagan worshiper. No, you're not. I don't care what day he was actually born on. I do, for the purposes of what I'm going to tell you, because the scriptures are absolutely true and inerrant in the King James Bible. But why should we know all these details? It's because we need to provide, like in the body of Christ, the main wall of partition, the gospel and the grace of God, we need to provide scriptural reasons why we believe what we believe. And when other people can go and check it out, they can come back and say, you know, by the scriptures, that's right. That's why you want to be as accurate as you can possibly be. But it really doesn't matter what day that you celebrate for Christmas. Just celebrate. But the most one thing, Richard, but the most important thing is not his birth. It's his death.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Ooh, I can tell you something about his death. His death, burial, and resurrection. But that won't save you. There's a lot of people out here believes that the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of that blood right there, took care. If I saw what you believe, just believe on the name of Jesus. Well, that won't get it. You'll go to hell. You'll go to hell believing it. You've got to trust in the fact that Jesus Christ paid for your sins to justify you when he was resurrected from the grave.
Yeah.
He's sitting on the right hand side of the Father as we speak right now. But he reconciled you back. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter. He reconciled the world to himself. God did. Anyway, Richard, what did you have?
I was going to say, I don't celebrate Christmas. And that's Christ.
Christ Mass in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what's a, you know, what really bothers me about it, I still say it, but they get the Catholic Church tries to get you marching in their direction. And that's one way they do it through Christmas. The program society to march, they keep saying the truth lies to them, it doesn't. Lives in our King James Bible.
That's right.
Well, you know, y'all guys know who Rick Warren is, right?
Yeah.
Let me cut off on and off before it means right in the middle of it. But Rick Warren is in bed, not literally, spiritually, with the Pope and Chrysler. He is. And didn't he yield the oath of the presidency to Obama? Yes, he did. Warren did. That tells me a lot. And if I was to I can't believe we're broadcasting on here clear and play with my phone. But we live in a world of compromise. Don't upset somebody. That's not politically correct. We live in a world of compromise and confusion. People are confused. I'm telling you, there's some. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one, does it? But when I say there's some good people, you know what I'm talking about. There's some good people with good intentions searching for the truth. They're sitting in congregations all over the world this morning. They're not hearing it. They're not hearing it. Why? Well, seminaries don't teach the truth. There's a, and I don't know the percentage now, it's growing. There's a large number of seminaries that actually teach that Jesus Christ still had sins on him, or had sins on him. But he wasn't sinless. So you really got to be careful of who and what you're listening to. Absolutely. One of the things we want to study his birth for is to find out what's true and what is counterfeit. Now we talk in here about Jesus, and then we talk about another Jesus. Is that not true, Richard? If you've got another Bible other than the King James Bible, you've got another Jesus in your hands.
Amen.
That's just a fact. Just a fact. I don't believe, this just personal things before we get into the scripture, I don't believe that by telling a child that Santa's coming when they're this age, whether you do or you don't, I don't believe that misleads them. That they, as some in society, will tell you if they'll grow up, you lied to your children, and now you want to tell them the truth, they're going to believe you. I just don't believe that. I grew up with Santa Claus, scarcely, but I grew up with Santa Claus. The fact that I always believed that. It was wonderful. Did it taint me? No, it didn't taint me. I trusted in the gospel of the grace of God. I mean, how can it taint me? And even before I did, while I was lost, I still knew there was a Jesus Christ. I didn't think my parents lied to me about Santa. I sure don't. But I think we ought to celebrate whatever day you want to celebrate for the birth of Christ. Even though we're going to prove today that he wasn't born on the 25th of December. Now, we need to prove what's true. Go to John chapter 1. It's going to consume probably both services. That's my plan. I'm not planning on getting in a rush. I might better now that I'm looking at the clock. But, I'm going to tell you, those cookies at Carol made John chapter 1, verse 6. That's them lemon cookies. I don't know about them purple looking cookies. Have you had
one?
John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. But we know he's talking about John the Baptist. The same John came for a witness to bear witness with the light being Jesus Christ, that all men through him, through Jesus Christ, might believe. He was not the light, John the Baptist wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, Jesus Christ was, and the world was made by him, no doubt about it, and the world knew him not. They didn't know who he was. And a guerrilla would have cared less. He came into his own. Who is he own? The Jewish people. In his earthly ministry here, he did not come to you. He came to the Jews, the Israelites. Now, and his own received him not. Well, where did that actually take place? At the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They turned him over to who? The Romans. They had him crucified. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Well, we cannot just believe on his name and become a son of God. So we know automatically John's not written to us. It's written for our learning and our admonition, right? But it's not written directly to us. I don't care how good it sounds. It just isn't. The four Gospels, Hebrews to Revelation, are not written to us. We find our Gospel in where? Romans through Philemon. Romans through Philemon. And then we still have to do a little dividing in there. But just continue reading. In verse 13. Talking about them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, the capital W, is the Word, which is Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the Word's glory, Jesus Christ's glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dwelt. What does that mean? He dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, with. He abided with us. He tabernacled with us. As you would tabernacle in a tent. Well, what is a tabernacle, by the way? He dwelt among us. It's a metaphor of the human body is what we're talking about, which the souls dwell as in a tent. And which is taken down at death. The old body is going to be taken down. You're going to get a new body. Now, what I'm going to do is to show you the birth of Christ. The day of, I ain't going to throw my opinion in on the year, but that's not what I can prove the year. I cannot prove the year, or at least I'm not going to try to today. That's a little bit more complicated on the year. But I will tell you when I think what year it was, and that's my own personal opinion, so don't take that to the mic because I'm going to tell you everything else then. We're going to talk about the conception of John the Baptist, but I'm going to do a what-if. If you're a computer literate, if you've ever programmed anything, the if-then statements. What if this, then this happens? And that's what we're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to back that up and show you what John the Baptist was on. Because he was what? 6 months older by the scripture. Now, I want you to go over to 1 Chronicles. Actually, don't go there first. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. At any time, shout it out. I may not have an answer for you. You may stump me, but that's okay. Somebody in here may have the answer. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, let's see what it says. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, there's a clue that's given here. It was about Zacharias being of a course of Abiah. That is the clue that we're going to chase down and find out what course it was and when it took place. But a course is what? It's a lot. It's a time period. A course is a designated time that he had to serve as a priest in the temple. So, with that knowledge, go over to 1 Chronicles. We're going to talk about King David. today, you're not going to hear much about the gospel of the grace of God, I don't think. First Chronicles 28. And we're going to show a little backup stuff to it so you can get a gather this. First Chronicles 28, verse 11. Then David, who is that? King David, the man after God's own heart, gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. Go down to verse 13. Also for the courses of the priest and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. Now, and it says in 13, also for the courses of the priest. You know, and we're going to talk more about this over and over and over, so don't get bored with it. There's three festivals or feasts that all the men of Israel, all the Jews, the Israelites, had to attend. Three feasts per year. That's mandatory. Now, somebody, and we'll see in here, there's like 38,000 workers. Well, how many Jews were they at this time? I don't know. There was a ton of them. But somebody had to be at the temple doing this, doing this, doing this. It just didn't operate by itself. There's too many sacrifices had to take place. So there was a numerous amount of people, and I can tell you the Bible says they were 38,000. But that's insignificant right now. I just want you to see David gave Solomon also for the courses of the priest. Now, go to that's it right there. And go to Exodus chapter 6. Some of this is just backup stuff here to show. Exodus chapter 6. And the only reason I'm going to go to verse 23 is this. It's to show you some people's names that we'll talk about. Exodus 6, 23. And Aaron, who was Aaron? The brother of who?
Moses.
Right. Took him, Elishama, the daughter of Amminadab. You know, when I see that name, I always think of that little boy up in the president of Iran. Ahmadinejad. Don't ask me why. All these names, I just can't hardly pronounce them. Any sister of Nashon to wife. So Aaron took a wife, and she bare him Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar. So it's important, you see, that they had four sons. Okay, enough on that four sons. Get the names there. Specifically, Eleazar and Ithamar. That's what I want you to see. Go to Exodus 28. And this is just to show you again. Exodus 28, verse 1. And take thou, talking to Moses here, unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. There are those names again. That's what I want you to see. Go to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Verse 4. Well, I think I'll start a little earlier. Verse 2. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron. Nadab, the firstborn. Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated. Consecrated means set apart to be used for godly purposes. Consecrated to ministry of the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died. You need to see that. Before the Lord, when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children, and Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. So now we're down to two boys, and that's where all these 24 courses come from. Eleazar and Ithamar. Okay, let's keep on moving. Go to First Chronicles. Do you wonder where it's at? Right after King. First Chronicles 24. Verse 1. Well, I'll go to 24, verse 2. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. That's pretty plain. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar, now you get into something, I can't even pronounce his name, Ahimelech, I guess, of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices and their service. We're talking about setting up the courses of the Lord, the 24 courses to work at these feasts and festivals. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided by lot. Lot and portions are the same thing. One sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and of the sons of Ithamar. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do right now. Let me check it out. They had to set up a schedule which the temple of the Lord could be staffed with all these different priests all year long in an orderly manner. Now, there were 24 groups set up. We're going to get into this right now. There were 24 groups set up of priests. Lots were drawn. Who's got the shortest draw? Okay, you get this, that kind of thing. Lots. It was in an orderly manner, 24 groups. You're going to see this right here. But who would serve in the temple? And the sequence that you would serve. Now, go to verse 7. The first lot, the first course. Verse Chronicles 24:7. Now, the first lot came forth to Jehoram. The second to Jediah. Is that the way you're going to say it? The third to Haram. The fourth to Syria. The fifth to whatever. The sixth to Benjamin. You know, that sounds like something from Detroit. You know? Yeah. Benjamin.
Yeah.
The seventh to Hakkab. And the eighth to who? Abiah. Zacharias was the course of Abiah. He had the eighth course. That meant the eighth week after the new year started, beginning in Nisan 1, that he was supposed to go in the eighth week, or the eighth course, eighth lot. Now, I'm not going to go through those others, because it comes on down and it ends in verse 18 and verse 19. These were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord, according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. Now, you know, no sense in reading all the other, but what I'm saying is, this was the course set up because God wanted it set up this way. He didn't give the instructions to King David. King David told Solomon, this is what's going to happen. But you got to remember, we're going to come back to the eighth course in verse 10. Okay? Now, go over to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. Verse 46. Remember we talked about before, Jesus Christ was baptized at the age of 30 years of age. Why? Because, well, there's a couple of reasons. One is, he had to be identified with the nation of Israel, of course. But to be a priest, he had to be 30 years old. And he was. Now, let's look at this. Verse 46 of Numbers 4. All those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered, and after their families and after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old, and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that came to do the service of the ministry and the service of the burden and the tabernacle of the congregation. Even those that were numbered of them were 8,500 fourscore, which is 80. 8,500 and
what
did I say?
80. It says 2,000 in my Bible.
What?
Doesn't it?
Verse 48.
2,000.
8,000. I'm the wrong verse. Sorry about that.
No wonder. Verse 49, according to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service. And if you'll notice, of course, there ain't no women. Not a woman. Women's not big priests. Ministers. So anytime you see a female out here preaching like Joyce Meyer and all those others, turn it off, turn the TV. She's going against the scriptures. Now, this doesn't say that, but I'm just making an inference from it. That when people, I don't know the age that people live back at this point in time. It wasn't, of course, like Adam and so forth, and those who had lived for many, many, many years, a little bit less than 1,000. But this specifies from 30 to 50. I'm thinking people didn't live a long time, you know. So you weren't, as a 50-year-old Israelite, you weren't in the best of health if you turned 51 or better. Like today, you know, you can be 70 years old. You can be like Mick Jagger running around on Rolling Stones, or Mike Jones, who plays with Foreigner. So he means 70 going back on the road touring as a lead guitar player for Foreigner 4. You can be like me. You go down and play.
112
still getting it on.
There you go.
But the thing is, undoubtedly, at that moment in time, because I know the Lord took an account. If he set somebody over this course to do some work for the service in the ministry in the temple, they couldn't be decrepit. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you've got to be able to get around and move. That's just my own thought, man. Okay. So go over to 1 Chronicles, I think. I go over to 1 Chronicles there. Well, I'm going to read you something in Numbers. Go to Chronicles. I may read this later. I don't know if I've got it somewhere else. But in Numbers 4, I'm going to read in Numbers 4, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families by the house of their fathers. Now, listen. This is it. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old. Until 50. At 51, you can't be a priest. All that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. So I believe that if you're retired at 50, that's what I believe. It's inferred to me. Maybe I'm wrong. 1 Chronicles 23. Got in there and you beat me to it. First Chronicles 23. I want to start in verse 1. So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his king, his son king over Israel. And there were problems there that he did. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. And their number by their poles, man by man, was how many? 38,000. That's how many people were there that worked in these courses and lots. That's what it says. I didn't make it up. And then it breaks it down a little bit, not too much. Verse 4, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters. And 4,000 praised the Lord, which the instruments which I made with, said David, to praise therefore. So it breaks it down. Can you see how many people was involved in this thing? You had to have these courses. There's 24 courses. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it. So let's skip a little bit and find out when the Jewish calendar actually begins. It begins in the spring during the month of Nisan. It's not Nisan. It's Nisan. Some people in the old Hebrew, it is Abib. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12.
You're saying that was their year that they got? Yeah. Year?
Yeah. The Jewish calendar begins in there now.
The Jewish calendar begins.
Jewish calendar. Let me straight that up. That's
the mistake. Religious calendar, not the secular. The secular starts in
not
Israel. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 7 months that time you're talking about.
Right. Okay, now in Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Go to Exodus 13:4. We'll go to 3, Exodus 13:3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten. Well, you know, leaven in the scriptures is sin. There's a reason for that. Verse 4. This day came you out in the month Abib. That's the Hebrew. The Abib. It's the same as Nisan, and we're going to show you that. Go to Exodus 23. We're going to be coming back to some of these for a different reason, but just right now.
Can you write that on the board where we can see it? In other words, I'm getting kind of confused as what's what.
Okay. The Exodus took place.
I'm not familiar with the months.
What is that?
ABI.
Yeah. That's when they came out of Egypt.
All right, so what month actually is that?
It's between March and April.
Okay.
But we may get to that, but that's what it is.
And you're saying a bit now is nice now.
It's equal to N-I-S-I-N. That's where we're going right now.
Okay, that's like April.
Yeah.
But you were saying that that's the first of their year. Now I'm confused with that.
First of the Jewish calendar.
First of the Jewish calendar.
Go, Joe.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Joe's going to say that.
There's two calendars. This is the religious calendar for the seven feasts of the Lord. It goes from spring to fall, 7 months. The annual calendar, the second calendar, starts in September, which is Tishrei. That goes 12 months. 28 days, four times. There's two calendars, religious and secular. The secular follows our calendar, the Gregorian. Religious is only for the seven feasts of the Lord. It starts in the...
It ends in September.
It ends in September, yeah.
For the Feast of Tabernacles.
There's two calendars. You've got to separate.
Okay, so I wouldn't stop.
Yeah. I got a show. I've got
to go. Oh, show? Anyway, let's keep moving here. We've got a lot to do, guys.
It shows two calendars.
In Exodus 23:15... Well, actually, I'm going to read this and go ahead and get it ahead of time, but I'm coming back. Verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. The Lord said it. Three times, you Israelites, you shall keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month. What? Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Now, go over to, we're going to come back to all of this, but go over to Esther, chapter 3. Right after Nehemiah, guys. Huh? Esther, chapter 3, verse 7. Now, the key to this verse is the first one. Remember, we just read about the first month. In verse 7, it says, in the first month, that is, the month Nisan. I misspelled this up here. Abib is equal to Nisan, not Nisan.
Okay.
So I wanted you to see that. Now, somebody, if they would, I need some help reading.
back over to Chronicles 23. I think it's, what's it, first? I think it's First Chronicles.
It is First Chronicles 24. Well, I better not. We'll let y'all read it because I can't write it when you do.
You're going to have to explain it, so I'm just going to read it.
Courses or lots? And it was, verse 7, Jehoram.
Okay, what's this
one? Second what?
Yeah.
Second? J-A-J-E-V-I-A-V-A-I-R.
Something like that. A-I-H.
Okay.
All right. H-A-R-I.
Next.
C-N-O-R or whatever. S-E-O-R-I-N.
Bye.
Bakaja, whatever, M-A-L, C-H-I-J-A-H.
Let me put six up here.
Okay, six is similar, M-I-J-A-M-I-N. Seven is Hakaz.
What?
H-A-K-K-O-Z. Mr. Boz. And then the eighth is A-B-I.
Okay, there's 24 of those. But I'm not concerned with it. I'm not going to write them all on the board because it's insignificant to me right now. So we have, he is after who? Zacharias, back again, is after the course of Abiah. Now, so we got that going. You see, the first course is going to be this individual right here. They came in on nice and warm. They come in at 6 p.m. How can I say that? They come in and work the Sabbath. So they come in on Friday night. That's the Jewish calendar at 6 p.m. They stay 24 hours, and they get off Saturday night. I'm using our time now for the Jewish calendar at 6 p.m. One 24-hour day. I'm sorry, that's not true. One solid, let me back that up. They come in at 6 p.m. on a Friday. After the seventh day, they get off at 6 p.m. on Friday. They've got one solid week. That's true. That's got to be it. Did I miss, did I lose somebody while I was trying to calculate it? Because now watch, I want to show you something. I always do this on the day Christ was, not Christ was born, but the crucifixion. And I always do it this way. And this is probably a better way of doing it. This way. And this would be 6 p.m. of a Jewish day, and it goes to 6 p.m. You follow me now? And this would be a Friday, but it would be a Friday. It would be their Sabbath starts here, okay? Their Sabbath starts 6 hours prior to ours. Jerry, you look confused. Did I lose anybody? Don't want to. Okay.
Let's all
like a
championship. I'll lay out a 1 week shift.
Yeah. 1 week shift. Now, goodness gracious.
Now, Byron?
Yes.
Our day starts at midnight.
Right, they're starting 6 hours prior.
Before. Let me see.
Yeah.
6 hours before. So.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, the second week would be this individual right here. Just say that this individual, say Nisan, and that's what I use, Nisan, the first day, then I'm going to use number one over there, instead of writing his name, would come in and work for 7 days. He would get off his shift. Number two would come in and work for 7 days. Number three would supposedly come in, right? But he's not.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
He's in charge of all those people, right? In other words, not the temple. In other words, it's Jehoram.
Yeah.
He's in charge of all the people.
He's one of the priests. If you remember back in Luke, what did Zacharias do? He was lighting candles or something. The incense. That's what his job was, just to light the incense. So he's not in charge of all those people. He's got a specific ministry, a specific duty that he's, service that he's got to perform for them. Some people are porters, but not these guys. These guys served inside the temple. But as you can, when we go back over there, we'll read that. That's what his job was. He was, I believe, lighting incense, keeping it going for 7 days. Somebody comes in and continues to do it. Somebody's got to do that. Somebody got to take out the trash.
Could they do sacrifice to run the fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got to do so. That's why they're there 24/7. Now, look at here. Right here, I can't believe I'm getting ahead of myself in my organization here. But we know 14 days has elapsed, right? Well, the Passover was on the 14th. What happens on the 15th day? 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it lasts for 7 days. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a feast, one of the three feasts, and I ain't going to tell you the rest of it right now, is one of the feasts that all of these 24 courses has to come in. All 24. Just because this guy's time is ready and he's supposed to go in, he got to show up anyway. That don't count for him. It is his time. Okay. Y'all follow me?
You got to move.
So it's 24 weeks is what you're talking about.
24 courses.
All right, so if they're courses, then there's also a week.
Yeah, 24 weeks.
The week of the festival, they all got to be this.
But the week of three festivals. And now we're just talking right this minute after I showed you. On the 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day of it is a holy convocation, which is a yearly Sabbath, and the last day is a yearly Sabbath. But that's no big deal right now. What I want you to see is this guy right here is supposed to come up now. But he doesn't.
He's pushed back.
They all, instead of this guy, all come in. All takes precedence. He doesn't. He moves now to this place right here. He just shifted everything. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yeah, because they needed more people to take care of all the men of Israel coming in.
That's right. Now, on a regular week, you need a guy there. Not too many people coming in. But when you're talking about for these feasts, they were just millions of people there. Probably like going to Daytona or something, you know. I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break. Let's don't take long, because I got 2 more hours worth. Let's take, seriously.